All right, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. James chapter 3. Find your place there. We'll start reading. We won't read the whole chapter, although we probably need to read the whole chapter. Be good. James 3 is a good chapter that all churches need to read over multiple times. It'd be good for all the members to read it about once a morning and once before they go to bed. And maybe, just maybe, we'd be able to control our tongues a little bit to be able to see some of the bitterness and anger and contention and strife that seems to flood our independent Baptist churches this day. James chapter 3, though, I want to read just a few verses of Scripture. And we're dealing along this lines on Sunday nights, and we may, all the Sunday nights, we may take one or two, I don't know, depends on how the Lord leads. But we're talking this month a little bit about strengthening our faith for wisdom. Wisdom, what it means. To have wisdom and to operate by wisdom and the way that the Lord would have us to operate our lives. The Bible says in verse 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, worry not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And we're going to talk a little bit about this thought of wisdom tonight, and trust the Lord help us. I've never really went to this chapter, and preached along this lines, but they are here. The verses are here. The practical teaching is here. Let me say that. Although it seems like, when a preacher gets over in James chapter 3, he's usually there for a reason. That's pretty common. I mean, there's a lot of tales told and a lot of things said and disgruntledness and discontention throughout all of our churches to where it needs to be preached upon. But we'll not be there tonight in this chapter. But trust the Lord to help us in some way. You pray as I pray tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Ask the God to help those that's here as well. Father, I pray, touch our hearts. Lord, we've prayed for this night and we've asked you to help us, and we know that, oh God, you are going to do a great work in our hearts tonight. Father, as we deal with this thought about wisdom tonight, and we trust you would help us, Lord, with these things and some things that's been shared, the thoughts that's been shared previously in weeks past, Father, that they would be made more clear even tonight as we go through the Scripture. Father, it's good to see. And so we speak about practical teaching and we try to give some good thoughts and thoughts of wisdom during sermons. But Lord, until we take the Scriptures and the Bible and deal specifically with those things and those thoughts, they're not revealed in the way they should be. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me tonight. Lord, touch your servant boy one more time, Lord, I pray. Lord, empower me to preach before your soon coming. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do now. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, James chapter 3, as he gets to these verses, he's speaking, and we all know the beginning of this is a warning concerning the tongue and the conversation that we are having, or that men have and women have. He says in verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which are, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature and to set on fire of hell. The warning here about the tongue, it's such a small member of our body, but it gets us in so much trouble, doesn't it? And it can set on fire the course of nature. The things in your life concerning your family, concerning your job, concerning different things. It takes one matter of going off on somebody. You ever hear that old term? People say, I'm going to go off on him. You go off one time, and you allow that tongue to be as wild as it wants to be. And I assure you, you'll find yourself fired from a job. You'll find yourself, marriages get dissolved and kids don't speak to moms and dads for years and years on end because of that one moment where that tongue gets the best of them. And here is that warning at the start of this chapter concerning the tongue. And then he begins to compare it. He says in verse 10, out of the same mouth, perceive blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? What a question. It can't, can it? And it shouldn't be so among our tongue as well. He says in verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And he begins to have a comparison here. And it shouldn't be. Our tongue shouldn't be rattling off things of vain conversation and then try to rattle off things of good conversation. And here's the problem that I believe that he was trying to warn them of. There were probably some men who were taking control of maybe the church services or governing over the towns or whatever it may be. And they were saying things they shouldn't say, doing things they shouldn't do. And then when they got up before the brethren, they started trying to speak smooth words, eloquent speeches, and try to make themselves look out to be some type of spiritual giant when everybody knew their heart. How can they be someone that is so defiled on the inside and try to speak such words of wisdom and comfort, things of the Spirit of God? It just cannot be. And I would say tonight that there is a lot of Christians that I believe that at their workplace can't tell people about the Lord because their life doesn't shine forth for the glory of the Lord in their daily living. And people see that because they don't see God in you and they don't see the Lord working through your life. Then why at that certain place and that certain time when maybe you come to a revival meeting or some type of camp meeting or a Sunday service and God got a hold of your heart a little bit and all of a sudden you want to play spiritual giant and you don't know why people don't want to listen to you, well, it's because you can't be seen as a wise man and be some type of Jekyll and Hyde figure in other people's lives. Y'all getting this tonight? You can't do that. Either we're going to live for God and we're going to speak of the things of God, or we're going to live in the world and live by the world's rules and not speak of the things of God. Let's take one side of the fence or another. Right, let's not try to be two-faced about it. I mean, we can't do that. But here is this great question. Now, just two things tonight and I'll be done. First the question, then the comparison, and we'll be finished tonight. Firstly, the question. In verse number 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? He begins to ask this question, is there anyone that's among you that claims to have a little bit of wisdom and they claim to have some answers? He said, who is he that's endued with this knowledge among you? Now, as he begins to get this question out there, it should be going through the hearts of these men and women who are hearing this epistle read before them, just exactly who is this that's been trying to be this wisdom figure in my life? Who is this one that says, you know what, I've got some answers for you, and I can help you if you'll let me talk to you a little bit. I can help you. Who is this one that is endued with knowledge among us? Now, listen to this in verse 13. First of all, I want you to see this. Holiness portrays wisdom. Okay? Holiness. Get this. Verse 13. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, this conversation is seen in a couple of different other verses throughout the Bible. I've put down two of these. Out of good measure here, 1 Peter 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. Now, 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, I wanted you to see these two verses of Scripture before we get into this definition tonight so we can get an understanding of what the word conversation means. We have to understand that the word conversation, we see it as being something that comes out of our mouth, okay? But what exactly does it mean when he talks about having holiness or holy conversation and godliness? The word conversation comes from a Greek word, anastrophe. It means behavior, okay? It doesn't just mean conversation or words out of the mouth. It means behavior. Now listen, he says, "Who's a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation." That's a good behavior, you see. Let him show out of good behavior his works. Now I would say holiness, you see, portrays wisdom. The things that he does is going to be, and we have to get the basics. Now we can go into the depths, and we are hopefully maybe through this month we'll go into a little bit more depths as far as using wisdom and dealing with people and dealing with others, using wisdom in our life as far as our spiritual life as on a daily basis. But let's get the basics of this first. If you are going to show forth that you are a wise Christian man or a wise Christian woman when dealing with your family or your friends or loved ones or even foes or sinners, okay, if we're going to show forth yourself as wise, first of all, you have to show forth your good behavior by your works. Because people are just not going to take what you have to say as truth, you see. Wisdom is speaking of truthful things, okay, in a wise manner. Now let me say this, if you are going to try to speak the truth to your friends and family and sinners and try to see people saved and get some help, then we are going to have to show forth our good behavior before them. Now, we're going to get this. This isn't just talking about doing good works before men. This is talking about your behavior. How that your essence is seen before men. Your true essence, you see. Now, think about this as we go through this. Holiness portrays wisdom. Secondly, humility portrays wisdom. Now, watch what he says in this verse. He said, "Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Now, this is what Paul had to say about walking wise before men. Meekness was the key, you see. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." That was the very first thing he said, wasn't it? You want to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called? You want to walk worthy of a Christian man or a Christian woman so that you can show forth wisdom to others and you can talk with wisdom and try to help people? Then you are going to have to walk with a lowliness and a meekness before men. If you walk amongst men like a know-it-all, then you won't be taken as someone that can really give forth some help. Think about this wisdom. He said walking with wisdom or lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. He said, you want to walk worthy of a good Christian man, a good Christian woman, then you are going to have to forbear one another with a love. Now, this is a love that can only be given by God. It's not something that you're going to muster up within you and just try to forbear, try to bear one another. Okay, forbear and bear is a little different there. And you know, some people you just want to try to bear. I'm going to get through this conversation if it kills me. I'm not going to say anything, and I'm not going to do this. You know what? Sometimes God wants you to go into that conversation with a little love of God in your heart so that you can have some compassion for them and not just a little bearance. Amen. As we think about this thought, humility, though, portrays wisdom. When a man wants to debate, now think about it, he has no spirit of meekness. His behavior is lacking. This isn't a wise man. When a man wants to say, well, let's get together and let's talk about this, and when they do get together and they start talking about situations and their behavior is not lacking, you see, or is lacking, their behavior is not one that has been praying, reading his Bible, and seeking after God. And when he finally gets to that place, all he wants to do is say, I think it's this way, and I've seen it this way, and my boy did this, my girl did this, my wife said this, my husband did this, I'm staying with this way, it's this way or no way, you're wrong, you're going to have to get right, you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do that. And when they get into that conversation, they don't portray any meekness about them. It's all about them and none about the other person. That is not a wise person. He said, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. Let's have some good behavior, because that good behavior shows forth meekness, you see. Holiness portrays wisdom, but also humility. And your humility shows forth your holiness. I mean, when you get before men and you start having your conversation with a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, somebody you know that's just they don't have any good aura about you. They don't care about you. I mean, you've got this all on your shoulders that they're against you and you're against them, and you finally meet them at that place, and or maybe you're on that other end of that phone. You know, your behavior, how that you present yourself in those conversations, shows forth whether you have been with God or not. They show whether you have been praying or not. Even though that person may not even be saved, that person may be a Christian and be saved and not be right with God. But you, on the other hand, your conversation, how that you present yourself and your behavior, shows forth whether you are truly going to be the wise man in this conversation or not. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to show forth a little bit of wisdom in your dealings with people where you're going to have to present yourself with good behavior, you see? You're going to have to present yourself with a little humility and a little bit of meekness. As we think about this, humility portrays that wisdom. And that person, when he finally gets to that place, he doesn't have a good behavior about him. He's not talking out of a wise heart. You know, it shows forth in this manner and in this conversation. And you know those when their heart's not right with God, because they don't come to the table with good behavior. And I want to use that to the table, because we're talking about conversation. We're talking about dealing with people, being wise in our dealings. When you come to the table and you begin to speak, you know when a man hasn't been right with God and his heart's not right with God. Because he just begins to blow up and he begins to talk out of his head and he's speed talking, and it's all about him and what he's been doing and what he wants to do and nothing about you. That man is not showing forth any wisdom. He may think that he's right, and you know what? He may even be right. There are people that don't use wisdom even when they are maybe saying something that is right. There's times whenever you're going to say things that are right, but say them in a wrong manner because you just don't have any wisdom enough about you to say what's right. You know, that's really a bad testimony on Christians, because there have been people that dealt with others about specific holiness in their life, and it's especially in the independent Baptist realm, because we are, as fundamentalists, want to take holiness to a whole new level. And all of a sudden, because God has dealt with us about holiness in our life, we begin to want to change the whole world. Maybe God ain't dealing with that woman like she is you see. Maybe God's not dealing with that man like He has you already. It doesn't mean that He won't deal with him, and it doesn't mean that He won't deal with her about dressing right, living right, talking right, walking right. But what it does mean is maybe God isn't dealing with their hearts right now about it. And until God gets a hold of their heart, it doesn't matter what you say. And a lot of times we go into it like we're ready to change the world, and God hadn't dealt with any hearts. And first and foremost, He ain't dealt with your heart, because you go into it with such an arrogance and a boastfulness about you that you have no wisdom. Wisdom went out the window a long time ago with all your pride. Y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? Now, I'm not trying to get us to say, "Oh, me," although it should bring us to an "Oh, me." But understandably, we need to bite our tongue sometimes until God gives us words to speak that we can say in a wise, godly way. Now, think about this. Humility, holiness. Now, also, heavenly characteristics portray wisdom. Think about this. Watch this in verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." All these things are heavenly, friend. These things are from above. If you're seeking, okay, to please God, and we are getting our answers from God, then we are going to be talking out of a wise heart. And first and foremost, godly wisdom yields these things in our life. First of all, purity. It's going to be pure, you see. It's going to be clean. And there's a lot of conversations, I believe, when people, even when they feel like they're speaking right things, when they leave the conversation, things aren't very pure. There's no purity about what you're saying. You know, people take things in such a bad way because we're not prayed up and we're not speaking like the Lord would have us to speak to a person, you see. And there's nothing pure about that. Heavenly wisdom is pure. Okay? Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Now watch this. He said, then peaceable. Pure and peaceable. And that's why I say, and I've mentioned this before, I've told people, and people have asked me, and I've tried to share that thought with others as well. And I've dealt with some that wasn't even saved, and this can help them as well too when dealing with people. And I always say, speak slow, you know. Because true wisdom is personified by calmness. I mean, if you're not calm when you're speaking to people, they know you're not right with God already. They know you haven't been praying and seeking the Lord out in your life. I mean, you're sitting there and your head is red, and you're hot, and your blood pressure level is to here, and you're... I wish you could just understand what I'm saying. You know? And there's some people that makes us get that way than others, more so than others, you know? There's some people that just, they don't want to understand. They don't want to get right. They don't want to see things any way but their way. But it's not their responsibility for you. It's your responsibility to act in wisdom even though they're not. And what's great is when two people can come together with a little bit of wisdom. I love talking with somebody that's humble. I love it. I love sitting there and, you know, I let them know I'm not a know-it-all. I wish I knew. Wish I did know-it-all. But I'm not a know-it-all. And you know, I hope that I never think that I know it all. Because if I do, then I'm messed up. Let's just agree to disagree, and we could talk about it later. Or we could talk about it a little more. Let's all have some good calmness about us, some good peace about us. Hey, you can talk about things in a peaceful way, and two people walk away as good friends. Do you know that? By wisdom. But you know, wisdom is tested more so when we're talking to somebody that doesn't want to get along. And you still have to react in a wise way, in a godly, wise way. That's the hard part. That's when it's really tested among us, isn't it? And that's when wisdom, showing forth our wisdom in purity and peaceableness, is put to the test. When they're sitting there and you know, all you can do is just sit there and smile because you know what they're saying makes no sense. You know what they're saying? It doesn't make any sense. You haven't been praying. You haven't been reading your Bible. and you're sitting there thinking, you know what, if you just get a hold of God and find out what's right. And you say, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says this. This is right. And they say, well, I don't agree with that. That's your interpretation. People always want to go that way, you know. And you just say, well, the Bible says this. This is what it says. I believe we're just going to have to stay right there. And oh, they just get all flustered and mad again. You know, and what they're wanting to do is see you get in the same way and show forth that foolishness about us and how we naturally are. We're naturally foolish people. Thank God for the Spirit of the Lord that grants us godly wisdom. But if we're not praying, reading our Bible, and asking God for this wisdom, we'll not be able to show forth this wisdom. Listen to this. Not only do we see is it yield godly wisdom yields purity and peace, but then patience. Watch what he says. He said, gentle. It's first pure, then peaceable. Gentle. Gentle. Now, taking time in dealing with others, we need to do that. Let's don't make people feel like you'd rather be somewhere else when you're dealing with them. Although there are times when you wish you were somewhere else when you're dealing with people. A godly wisdom will sit there and take time with others even though they're showing forth ignorance. Even though they are ignorant to what the Bible is saying and the things that they are saying isn't in line with the Word of God, we're taking that Bible, we're trying to be patient. Okay, that's the gentleness about us. We should be gentle when dealing with others. Be patient. Hey, you know what? God was pretty patient with you getting you around. There were others that probably dealt with you whenever you were green, and they pulled you around by gentleness and patience. And we should have some patience dealing with others. Use a little bit of godly wisdom. Godly wisdom yields patience. Godly wisdom yields easy persuasiveness. Now listen to this. This isn't something that's, we need to get a hold of this. And I don't want to say this in a wrong way, because it's good to be dogmatic. Okay, there's nothing wrong in being dogmatic. Although I think we almost are a little bit too much dog when we're dogmatic. Amen. Than anything. In that we just, it's just my way or the highway. And we should be. There are some things as far as doctrine that I am dogmatic about. And I'm not going to move. And I'm not going to be persuaded any other way. But there are some things in dealing with things that are not, that I should, that I'm not dogmatic about. There are some things that I may want to be dogmatic that I shouldn't be dogmatic about. There are some things that I shouldn't make my stand and say I'm not moving when it's not concerning sound doctrine, you see. When it's concerning, you know, maybe something administrative. Maybe it's concerning something that that is out there in the Scriptures, and there are things that that are not necessarily as clear as we would want them to be in the Scriptures. There are some things, okay, you see, that we need to be flexible and we need to be open. When he talks about this, he said it's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That simply means that you can be persuaded in another way, you see. You see, there's a lot of people saying, I'm not going to be persuaded in another way. And that's their personality. And there are some people that say, I'm not that way. And when you speak to them, they are that way. And they're that way in a big way. And people see it, but they don't see it. And they're deceived. We should say, Lord, show me. Show me if I don't have this down. If this is not something that I'm using in wisdom in my life, let me see it. I want to see that. If maybe this peaceableness or this purity or the gentleness, patience, maybe I'm not showing patience. Maybe I'm not easy to be entreated. Maybe I'm not using wisdom in that way in my life. Hey, the wisdom that's from above will be easily persuaded. Allow people to talk and don't think you know it all because you don't. Allow people to talk. Allow others to say some things. You never know when somebody else may spit something out of their mouth that's very wise. And you might could pick up on that. Hey, it's good to listen to people sometimes. Allow yourself to be persuaded. If some other way is better or right, don't follow your way just because you're too stubborn to change. You see, godly wisdom doesn't mind looking at ourselves and saying, I might be wrong. There are some things I'm going to be dogmatic about. There's some things I'm not changing about. I know what the Bible says, and I'm not moving. But there are a lot of things that I need to be open about. And when I'm dealing with others and I'm calm and I'm trying to speak slow and I'm trying to get my thoughts together, let me listen to what they're saying. I want to absorb everything that they're saying. It may be dumb. It may be something that is so off the wall that I just got to say, what planet are you from? Okay? But godly wisdom's going to be easily being treated. Godly wisdom's going to allow me to at least absorb what they are saying and make that decision for myself. There are some people that I'd like, when I go into the conversation, Brother Chad, I'd like to go ahead and say, I'm not listening to what they got to say because they don't have anything good to say. But that's not what the Bible says about godly wisdom. Godly wisdom's easy to be entreated, you see. Godly wisdom doesn't mind being persuaded if I am wrong, even though this person has had a pattern of being out there. I still want to listen to what they have to say. And if there's something that they have to say, and maybe it's something I need to change in dealing with them, and what they say can change my mind, Lord, let me change if I'm wrong. I don't want to follow myself into the ditch, you see, just because I'm stubborn. And there are some people that will do that just to get their own way. Godly wisdom isn't that way, you see. When we're prayed up and our devotions are right and we're right with God in our heart, hey, and we're using wisdom and we're taking these things that we're teaching and we're applying them practically to our life, when we get into that place, we won't mind listening to what others have to say and say, you know what, you might be right. And if you are, then I'll follow that way. There are some, you know, this is a big thing. You know, a lot of times this particular message would be good preached at preachers' conferences and such. Because there's a lot of pastors that need some of this wisdom tonight. But there is a lot of pastors that they'll never admit that they're wrong. They'll never admit, you know what, I'm wrong in some things. And, you know, you may be right. But I'll pray about it, and if it is right, I'll follow that way. And if it's not right, I'm going to follow this way. You know, it doesn't matter. Pastors, pew, you know, deacons, Sunday school teachers, it doesn't matter what you do. We are people, and we should be following the Scriptures. But godly wisdom is going to take practical wisdom from others and apply it to your life if it's going to mean a good way or a better way apart from what you've been doing already. Y'all getting this tonight? I've said it in the wrong way. You know, I'm bad to do that. I apologize. I hope you're getting what I'm saying in the right way. Don't let us be stubborn about that, though. Hey, also, godly wisdom yields pity. Not only purity, patience, okay, peace, easy persuasiveness, but pity. What's this in this verse? Full of mercy. Full of mercy. You know, it's easy to have no mercy when what God has done for us is not on our hearts on a daily basis. Hey, if God's mercy is real to you, then your mercy will be real to others. Y'all got that tonight? If God's mercy is made real to you on a daily basis, if you wake up and you're in tune with God, or you know you're about to meet somebody and you haven't been prayed up, you know that you're about to face somebody in a conversation, maybe it's going to be conflicting interest, whatever it is, you need to be praying. You need to be seeking God. And when you get to that place, God, help me to have some wisdom. And in godly wisdom, you will show forth mercy and compassion that normally you would not have shown. You see, godly wisdom yields pitifulness. You pity people. When you get in that place, you see them as somebody that's just, maybe they're not thinking clearly. Maybe they're not, maybe they're off in some sin. Maybe they just haven't given themselves to God. And you know what? You ought to have compassion on those people instead of getting in that place and all of a sudden you're just getting so mad at them because they're just not speaking right. Godly wisdom will give you the mercy that you need to show toward that person and have a heart of understanding as to who they are, what they're going through, where they come from. Lord, help us to have mercy. Godly wisdom will yield not only pity, but no partiality, no hypocrisy. Watch what he says. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Hey, the wise man treats everyone the same, you see. The man that gets his wisdom from above, because he don't know the future. He don't know what that man has entailed for his life. He doesn't know what God has for the future of this lady or this man. He doesn't know. So we react with a little bit of wisdom. And that wisdom gives us no partiality. It doesn't matter whether he's talking to a rich man or a poor man. A man that, you know, we feel like God's going to do something in his life, and he's a mediocre family, and he's got a mediocre, medium-class family, and he's been to church before, and we always want to stereotype people. That'd be a good church member. This would be a good church member. You have no idea. You see, godly wisdom treats everybody the same. And it doesn't matter. You're going to deal with this man the same level you deal with this man, because you don't know what God's got for their life. And you don't know as well when you deal with those, you know, that seem like they're off and it seems like they have no idea what they're saying. They're not talking according to the Scriptures, and you know that. And when you're dealing with them, though, you're dealing with them just like you would if it was your own son. And he was getting off, or your own daughter, and they've grown up, and they've gotten out of the house, and they got off in sin. You know what? I've seen moms and dads deal with people like that, deal with their sons and daughters, and they're so sensitive. They're very sensitive. You know, Miss Kelly, if they was dealing with everybody in their life like that, oh, what the wisdom they would be showing. You know, we would deal with them just like we were dealing with our own family member. Could you show forth that kind of love? I mean, if you know, you think about maybe someone that's caused you problems, or maybe they've caused you opposition in the past, and you're dealing with them, I wonder, could you deal with them tonight, thinking about that, could you deal with them like you would your own child if your child got out of the way from the gospel? Would you show them that same mercy? You see, godly wisdom allows you to deal with everybody the same, because your compassion is there, the same for all men. I would ask us that. Are we letting the heavenly wisdom fill us? Those characteristics, those traits. Hey, heavenly characteristics portray wisdom. Now, don't you see this tonight? Not only do we see the question, but we see the comparison here. He says in verse number 14, and he comes right off this in verse 13, he asks that great question, who's a wise man and dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Excuse me. Godly wisdom cannot yield, okay, bitterness. Envying, strife, boastfulness, confusion. Watch what he says in verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, if you're trying to find some type of godly wisdom and you're trying to use the wisdom of the Lord, it's not going to yield forth these things in your life. There are people that you know, they quit church and they quit this, they quit that, and they quit on God, and they quit these things, and they quit because of anger in their hearts towards somebody, bitterness toward a pastor, whatever it may be. They have bitterness in their heart, and when they finally get to that place where they have a conversation, and they finally get to that place where their conversation's between them and whoever it is, and that one is sitting there saying, why don't you just get right with God? Why don't you just come close to the Lord? Why don't you just get your heart right with the Lord? And that one is just in anger and bitterness. This one did this one did that. I'm not coming back. I'm not doing this. I don't know how many times I've heard it, and I've heard preachers tell about it. But I want you to know, friend, that person cannot yield forth godly wisdom in their life, and they won't yield forth it until they get right where they got wrong. Amen, amen. That's just right. Godly wisdom cannot yield forth these things. This bitterness and anger and hatred and these things. And we should have compassion toward these things, because such were some of you, and such could be some of you. It could be your moms, dads, brothers, sisters. It could be your children. It could be you that's next that Satan desires to sift as wheat. And he begins to get you in that threshing floor, and he begins to throw you around, friend, and the things of this life, and the bitterness begins to build up in your heart. It could be you next that Satan attacks. And when you get to that place, I would hope if I get to that place, somebody could use a little bit of godly wisdom when they're dealing with me. Because godly wisdom is the only thing that's going to get them to come around. That's exactly right. You're not going to be able to debate on the same level. You get a bitter pastor and a bitter member, and you got a bunch of bitterness. Amen. Not only a bitterness, but you got a bitter mess. And I'm telling you, it's a bad situation. It wreaks nothing but destruction. But you get a pastor, or you get a member, or you get somebody that sits down with somebody, and they've got a good calmness about them, and they're protruding the love of Christ toward that person, and that person is bitter and angry. Hey, I'm glad that the love of God casteth out, amen, a multitude of sins. And it does. It covers a multitude of sins. And the love of God working in you can cover a lot of faults or thought to be faults from other people that they would see. And that love, you see, is what's going to win those hearts. And if they're to be able to be won, they'll be won by love and godly wisdom. Now I say godly wisdom cannot yield these things. The command is here, though, is don't lie to yourself. You cannot deal with people with godly wisdom harboring these things, bitter, envy, strife, boastfulness, confusion. You can't harbor these things in your heart because they'll eventually show. I mean, people can't harbor those things and then they want to sit there and they want to try to be nice and they want to try to be friendly and they want to try to do this. Eventually, it's going to show in your life, all those things. You're not going to be able to hide that bitterness and anger and contention in your heart for long. Eventually, it's going to show when you get in a conversation and the heat of the moment hits that tongue, it'll start rattling off just like it says it's a fire, a world of iniquity. And it'll start rattling off and show forth what is truly on the inside. But a man that stayed with God, a woman that has gotten with the Lord, and they've sought God out and they've prayed, God, give me wisdom when dealing with these things in my life. When they finally get there, and there's no boastfulness, there's no pride, there's no arrogance, there's no bitterness and anger in their hearts, they can sit there with a pure mind and a pure heart and smile with compassion and mercy toward another human being because they are understanding where they are. That's true godly wisdom. The man with bitterness in his heart will not be merciful. He'll not be patient. He'll not be peaceful. It'll be his way or no way. Confusion will follow him where he goes, and people will be discouraged and hurt around him. That man with bitterness in his heart, that woman with bitterness in her heart, I assure you, friend, they're not going to be able to deal with you with godly wisdom, but so it's up to you. Find the wisdom of God to deal with others around you. Find that, because it is up to you. Godly wisdom has preserved homes. Godly wisdom has preserved marriages. Godly wisdom has preserved relationships between sons and daughters and moms and dads. Godly wisdom. Sometime we're going to have to find it. And you know what godly wisdom will do? It'll save a soul from hell because you've used it in the right way. And you've had compassion toward a soul. You'll save that soul from hell. But if you don't allow the wisdom of the Lord to work through your life, I assure you, you're not doing anything but destruction. You can have right doctrine. You can know what it means to dress right, walk right, talk right, live right. You can know what it means. You can have all the facts. You can dot all the I's and cross all the T's in your life. Not deal with godly wisdom and try to reform the world and not do anything but damage. Y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? Dealing with wisdom. This is just the basics. We haven't even touched the top of the water really good yet. But this is the basics. You want to have some good godly wisdom, you're going to have to get it from God. This is where this has all been going tonight. You're going to have to get it from God. You're going to have to pray for these things we've talked about. Lord, help me to be to work and to deal with others out of a pure heart, a peaceable. Let me be patient. Let me pity others. Let me have these things in my life and dealing with people. I want these things, Lord. Please give them to me. I wonder, have you prayed that? I mean, do you pray that? Lord, I want wisdom in dealing with others. You see, this is pretty important. Not only dealing with others, but in dealing with yourself, you need some godly wisdom. Lord, help me. Help me. It makes right choices, right decisions. It makes holy decisions and not things that are off the wall. Godly wisdom. You want to direct your family in the right way, live in the right way, you better find some godly wisdom about you, you see. Every head bowed, every eye closed. May you say here tonight, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know what, I need to use some of that in my life. I need some godly wisdom. Well, God will give it to you if you'll ask Him for it. He'll help you. He'll help you if you'll seek Him out. Maybe Courtney come and just play through a little verse invitation. And maybe tonight you'd like to